and fill this place. Bring us healing with your warm embrace. Show your power, make your presence known. Holy Spirit, come fill this place. Holy Spirit, come fill this place. My heart is longing just to hear from you. My soul is waiting to know someone who can take us higher, help us make it through. So will you please come and rest? To hear from you. Our souls are thirsty for the joy you bring. So send your glory, make your praise complete. Send down the rain, touch of the world.
Beautiful. Would you take out your notes with me as we do exactly what that song is talking about? Talk about the promise of the Holy Spirit as we continue in our series called Standing on the Promises. But as we know in our society, the word promise has been poorly defined because as someone would say, I promise, then it's really defined as like a hopeful chance, maybe of something happening. Maybe it's a person's sort of attempted guarantee that may or may not happen. I promise. And when we hear that same word in the Bible, the problem is we are somewhat skeptical about the promises of God, even though 1 Kings tells us that not one of the good promises which the Lord made to Israel failed, They all came to pass. But yet we bring in that in bucket loads of skepticism when we hear the word promise, and we think, well, we better have a backup plan. I mean, even if God promises, we better have a backup plan. And we're often skeptical to our own peril. That's how three Portuguese died. Let me tell you the story. These three Portuguese was up on the 9th floor of this apartment, and the thing caught fire. So the volunteer Kakaako fire department rushes down the driveway in the back of the apartment. The first one is Joaquin saying, help, help, help. So the guys come out with this sheet. They say, jump, Joaquin, jump. What he didn't know is these guys never liked Portuguese in the first place. So they said, jump. So Joaquin jumps, and just when he's in the middle of the air, they pull the sheet away. Whap. Oh, that's how the first one died. So on the other one, Frankie's over there. Help me, help. So they run over there with the sheet. Now Frankie saw what was going on. Jump, Frankie. No way. He said, I saw you what you did to my brother, Joaquin. You guys going to pull the sheet? No, they said, we promise. They said, okay. So he jumps, and sure enough, whoo, they pulled the sheet away. Whack. That's how the second one died. So on the next one is Mano. Mano Souza said, help. Help! So they run over here, over there, the driveway, in the back driveway. Jump, Mano. Mano said, no way. I saw what you did to my other two brothers. I'm not going to jump. They said, jump. We promise. No act. No act. Don't give me that promise kind of stuff. Jump, Mano. Otherwise, the fire going to kill you. Okay, he said, then one thing. Only way I'm going to jump is this. What? They said, lay down the sheet on the ground and move away. I thought a third one died. Sometimes we can get skeptical of promises made to our own peril. But what if the promise were a living promise that God made? You say, well, what do you mean a living promise? You see, the Holy Spirit is a living person, and he gives us the promise. You see, the promise that's a living promise, like someone comes. You see, God's promise of the Holy Spirit is not a nice saying. It's not a hopeful expectation. It's a living promise. Let me explain it this way. There's to be a final exam at this college, and this freshman is taking this math class, very difficult, highly advanced math class, and the final exam was to be so difficult that the professor said, okay, because I know it's so difficult, you can, whatever you can get, because they were saying, can we do open book? Can we bring notes? He said, all right, whatever you can get on an 8 by 11 sheet of paper, if you can get on, whatever you can get on there, you can bring that. Oh, the student said, yes. Well, the next week when the exam began, the professor walked in, and here's this freshman student sitting at a desk writing furiously the answers to the test that was handed out by the assistant. And when the professor came in, one of the top graduate math students who was a tutor was standing next to him, giving him all the answers. And the professor said, whoa, 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 what is going on here? This is a graduate math student here giving you all the answers. And the freshman said, but you said, well, yeah, I said, anything you can get on a piece of paper, you could bring. He said, look, and he was standing on an 8.5 by 10 piece of paper. You see, that's sort of like the one who is the Holy Spirit. He's a living promise, not just a bunch of notes, not just hopeful expectations. He is someone that God says, I will give to you to guide you along your way. Let's read at the top of our notes how he describes the person of the Holy Spirit in John 16:13. Would you read it with me? Go. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will be telling you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. Would you underline, he will guide you into all truth. And circle the word future. You know when it says he will guide you into all truth, you know what that's telling me? Would you write in your notes? That tells me that if he's going to guide me into all truth, truth needs a guide. Truth needs a guide, the truth of my future, the truth of my life, the truth of what God wants me to be. I need a guide for that. And the Lord says, I will. I'll send you a guide. Let's read the scripture right under there, Luke 24:49. Go. And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Truth needs a guide. And he's saying, but you stay with him. You stay with him, because you could have that graduate student and ignore what he has to say, or you can listen to what he has to say. The Holy Spirit will be a guide in your life. That's the promise. No, not just nice saying. It is the living promise that he makes available to every single one of us, because the truth of our future is so incredibly important to God that you walk into it, that you not miss it, that he sends a guide to guide us. That's pretty cool, don't you think? When I was in junior high, I was in Oregon going to school for a little while, and we had an excursion to a place called the Oregon Caves. Now, this is a huge underground cavern that has stalactites and stalagmites and all kinds of streams of effervescent water in there, mineral water, and the most amazing caverns. But it is dark as can be. If you don't have lights, it is just pitch black. You can't even see your hand in front of your face. Well, this guide was walking us through, and all of us junior high kids, and she is telling us about the stalagmites and the stalactites and all of this stuff. And we thought, this is the most boring thing in the world. So we said to one another, two of us, we said, hey, let's break off from the crowd. Yeah, and let's let them go. All right, all right. So we hid around the side, and we heard him going, and this now, this cavern, and this. And I said, okay, let's go. And we realized it was pitch black. Oh, no. We were crawling on our hands and our knees, because the one that had the big light was the guide. And what we didn't realize is when she was done teaching about this cavern, she hit a button, turned off the lights, and turned the new ones on the next one. And they would walk in this way. Now, we were in the dark. It took us about 35 minutes to find our way out on our hands and our knees. And when we got out, we looked at each other and we said, now that was stupid. And you know what? A few years later, I went back through the same caverns. And the guide took us through. And this time, I decided to stay with the group. You know, it was the most beautiful place I'd ever seen. And you know what the funny thing was? 2 years before, it was scary. It was upsetting. It was dumb. Because I decided to cut away from the guide. But this year that I went, I saw the most beautiful underground caverns I had ever seen. It was the most spectacular thing. And I thought, huh, same journey, same environment. The first was scary. The second was experientially wonderful. All because of the distance I followed from the guide. And the Bible says that God is going to send to us the Holy Spirit, who's going to be a guide, and he's going to guide us into all truth. And he will be telling you what he has heard, and he will tell you about the future. So he said, I'm sending you the promise of my Father, but stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high. What is God saying? He's saying it's a non-negotiable thing in your life. You don't know the future. You don't know what's coming around the corner next year or 5 years or 10 years. But the Holy Spirit does, so he says, wait for his lead and then follow. I want to talk to you today about the precious promise of the Holy Spirit. He's not an it. It's not just a nice option. He is a non-negotiable. And he's saying, wait till you are clothed with power from on high, or you're walking with him. Now, why would he say wait on the promise? Why? Well, would you write a number one? You know why? Because he, the Holy Spirit, knows God's plans. Wait, because he knows the plans of God. Did you know that the Holy Spirit knows God's plans for your future? He actually knows your future. You know why he knows? He knows everything about God. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit was there in the very beginning. Do you know that? Let's read the scripture together. Genesis 1:2, go. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the was moving over the surface of the water. Who was there in the beginning? Holy Spirit. Yeah, do you know that? He knows everything about God. He knows what he thinks. He knows what pleases God. He knows what does not. He's a living promise. He's sort of our divine mentor. He was there in the design room when God was fashioning your future, when he was developing our futures. He was there. He knows every thought that God has. You know why? Because he is God. Let's read the next scripture, 1 Corinthians 2:11. Go. Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the... Oh, wow. So if the Holy Spirit is a guide in my life and he's going to tutor me and help me to become all that he wants me to become for my future, if he knows the way, then it's probably a good idea that I follow him. And you see, he knows God's design for this church. How many of you would agree that the Holy Spirit knows God's design for this church? Raise your hand. Yeah. How many of you know that God knows a design for your life? Raise your hand. Yeah, you see, if you're a single woman, single man, God knows his plans for your marriage. He knows his plans for your future, and it's a great one. So he gives us a map or an instruction guide so that we can avoid the pitfalls that cause people to miss God's best. You see, Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know what? I know the plans that I have. What? The plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They're not plans for your calamity, but for your welfare in order that you might have a future and a hope. So if God knows the plans, the Holy Spirit does too. And guess what? The Holy Spirit knows my future. And so he says, Wayne, I'm going to guide you into that future because God really wants you to apprehend it. So he's going to give you a map so that you can position yourself and walk with him with a right heart so you don't miss the future. And you know what else? I was there, Wayne, when God was designing your life. I was in the design room. And God has given me not only the knowledge of your future, he's saying, but he's also given me the power to work within you to see that fulfilled. So would you write in number two, why should we wait on the Holy Spirit? Because number two, he can fulfill God's design in me. He can fulfill God's design in me. Let's read what Paul is saying in Philippians 3 in the New Living Testament. Go. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I keep working towards that day when I will finally be all that Christ Jesus saved me for and wants me to be. Ah. He said, I really want to become all that person that God saved me for and wants me to be. Well, who knows that? Holy Spirit. Then I say, he's my guide. That's right, Wayne, because truth needs a guide. Then I really need to start listening to the Holy Spirit when he speaks to me. That's right. And my plans for you, God might say, is may or may not be to be a billionaire, maybe a servant. Maybe my plans for you to be a counselor, maybe a mentor or a mom that delights God's heart and influences a child. Little do you know, that child that you're influencing in a Sunday school class, in your home, in a discipleship, in the youth group, whatever it might be, as a volunteer working with kids or youth or high school, little do you know that that young person may one day become a Billy Graham or a D.L. Moody or a John Mark or a David or a Moses. You have no idea. And God might be saying, I'm not trying to get my future for you. Isn't that you be a multi-billionaire? It's to be a mentor to a future Moses. It may be someone who will pray for this church. And because of the prayers of the saints, the work of the enemy is hindered and the church begins to grow. And we are able to see people come to know the Lord, just like Pastor Elwanahu, who came to know the Lord here. Someone was praying for him. And we begin to see, God has a plan. So sometimes the Lord says, my plans for you is so that you be a mentor, that you be a prayer counselor, that you be a servant, that you be a teacher, that you be an ambassador, that you be the president, that you be the mayor, that you be a leader in the community, a CEO, whatever it might be. God knows because he has a plan. And who's the one that'll guide us? The Spirit of God, who's been given to us as a living promise, a tutor standing on the Word of God that's teaching us how to get through this life. And if you separate yourself from the guide, then it's going to be a pretty tough journey. But the Holy Spirit says, oh, stay close to me, stay close. But would you read with me this next one in Ephesians 3:20? Go. By his mighty power at work within us, he is able to accomplish infinitely more than we would ever dare to ask or hope. Now, who is able? He is able. That mighty power that's at work within us. Here's the rub. I can't do it on my own. I don't know what my future holds. And if I try to scratch out my survival, I will most likely miss it because I can't do it on my own strength. Who is able? He is able to do what God has asked us to become. So he's been given the assignment to fulfill God's best in us. That's his assignment. And the best way to please the Lord is to obey and walk with the Holy Spirit as he guides. And so he is a living promise. Here's one rub, though. Would you write in number 3? Here it is. But we must be willing to obey. You must be willing to obey. Why should God give a promise to somebody who doesn't even want it? Why should I give a $2,000 saddle to someone who doesn't like horses? Why should I give someone a diamond when they don't like diamonds? That's why I don't give any to my wife. She didn't like them. And so why should I give a ticket to someplace on a, say, a cruise when someone hates cruises and ships? And the Bible is saying that he's going to give the Holy Spirit to those who obey. Let's read it. Acts 5:32. Go. And we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who... You see, the promise is given to those who have chosen to follow. And it starts with the set of our hearts. The set of our hearts. You say, well, Wayne, what if I don't always obey? Because I'm still learning to hear his voice and his instruction. Yep, me too. I'm still learning. How many of you are still learning to hear God? Yeah, good. Thank you. I feel better now. We are all learning. And I make mistakes. You'll make mistakes. But you know what God looks? Not at how clearly we can discern and delineate God's voice. So that'll come. But what he's going to watch are the set of our hearts. My heart wanting God's best. So I want to hear. I want to listen. And I'll be able to learn more and more and more as I do my devotions as we do here at New Hope. And you're learning to recognize God's voice through the Bible. And you say, that's what he sounds like. That's what he would think in that situation. That's how he treats those who are disabled or treats those that are antagonistic. That's how he thinks about such and such. Pretty soon you get context. That's my Lord. That's his heart. And when he speaks, you can say, I know that was his voice. Because I know his voice. You understand? I know that was his voice because I know his voice. That's why it's so important for us to be people who have a full devotion to God's word and that you're with that every day in devotions and you're following through that Bible reading bookmark. If you haven't started, please jump in whenever and just start to accumulate a sense of context of what his voice sounds like. And when he speaks, you'll be able to discern that. But it's the set of our hearts. Not how accurately we always obey, because we're going to stumble and fumble and fall. There's a wonderful poem that goes like this. One ship sails east and the other west, while the self-same breezes blow. But it's the set of the sail, not the winds, that will ultimately determine which way it'll go. And as we journey on through the currents of life, it will be the set of our hearts that determines our path, not the storms or strife. Isn't that true? When someone is sailing, that wind can be blowing it across current. But if he knows how to take that sail and set it correctly, and he can tack back and forth almost against the wind. It's not the blowing currents. It's not the winds. It's the set of the sail that'll determine ultimately which way you're going to go. And that's the set of our hearts. We need to set our hearts to follow the Lord. And whatever way the winds blow, sure, sometimes we will be blown off course and we will go this way and that. But if the set of our sail is correct, then we'll always come back on. And we're following the lead of the Holy Spirit. And so he gives us a living promise. He is called the Helper. He's going to be there to not only just be there for you, but he's going to help correct when we're off course. And you're going to hear his voice. You'll sometimes be a bit convicted, or even sometimes here in church, the Lord will say something and you'll go, oh boy, that's not me. I don't even live that way. And the Holy Spirit's going to start correcting. So would you write down two types of obedience in your notes. Number one is a correcting obedience. That God is saying, now remember, I'm going to give the promise of the Holy Spirit to those who, what? Obey, right. So, if I'm obeying, there's two kinds of obediences. Number one is a corrective obedience. Because our tendency is to stray. Our tendency is to follow the base nature. Ooh, she looks good. Ooh, I like that. Ooh, I think, I know it's not right, but maybe no one will find out. Our flesh wants to maneuver, manipulate, to take shortcuts because I want what I want. And often the Holy Spirit will remind us and say, Wayne, that's not what you want. That's not what you want. Let's read what the scripture says in Romans 8. Go. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit. Yeah, you have to choose which way you're going to set your mind. If I give audience to this, ooh, 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 then it'll just throw me into that and I'll start to crave it even more. But one of the things that the Holy Spirit does when he's correcting me is this is what he'll do with you as well. I've noticed that when I have a tendency to go, ooh, that's what, ooh, and I know it's not quite right, ooh, and the Holy Spirit says, well, wait a minute, Wayne. If you went that way, here's what he does. He fast forwards the tape. If you got involved in that illicit relationship, if you got involved in that scheme, if you got involved in retaliating and sabotaging that guy because you've got a personality conflict and you did this, if you succeeded, what would happen? And what the Holy Spirit will have you do is fast forward the tape. If that relationship went, one thing would happen, that would happen. Your family would break down. Your kids would be confused. You would destroy your marriage, your future, and you'll miss the mark. And then you take a look at way down there. Oh, yeah, if I compromise here and sabotage that guy there, I can get that position. Okay, just fast forward it. Now, fast forward it out about 5 years. How do you feel? You're making a little bit more. Now you got a lot more problems, but you've burnt a whole bunch of bridges. Now, how do you feel? Is that the kind of life you want to live? Or would you rather have a life that might make a few dollars less, but you're a rich man with your family, with your marriage, with your influence, and with God, with what God wants you to be? Which? And then he rewinds the tape and says, now make the decision. The Holy Spirit will be there to help you and to guide you. And one of the things is corrective obedience. And I pray that all of us will be involved in that because he'll speak to you. He really will. He'll be speaking to you if you'll listen. And the issue is not, is God a speaking God? The issue is, am I a listening person? But not only in corrective obedience, could you write the next thing, next obedience definition there? It's not only correcting obedience, but here's the thing I'd like all of us to graduate into, and that's called perfecting obedience. Perfecting obedience, which simply means there's going to be a time, and many times rather, when the Holy Spirit will speak to me, and it's not because I'm doing anything wrong. He just wants to change me or perfect me into the image or into the future that God has for us. A perfecting obedience. Let's read what the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 3. Go. As the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like him and reflect his glory even more. Would you underline more and more like him? And then circle the words, as the Spirit of the Lord works. You see, as we cooperate with what the Spirit of the Lord is doing in us, he might not be correcting me because I'm going wrong, but he's perfecting me in order that I might be more in the right or righteous or like him. He is making me more and more like him. So let me take you from the negative side of the equation of being corrected, reprimanded, because I'm doing something wrong. Flip you to the positive side of the equation where the Holy Spirit still works, not only on the corrective side, but perfective side. For example, there's going to be times you'll be around here and you'll just sense the Holy Spirit say, help them pick up that rubbish. There's a cup there, pick it up. There's someone there that just needs a hug, go hug. There's someone that needs a chair, go get a chair. And it's not like you're doing something wrong and I'm going to correct you. No, you're doing fine. I'm going to now perfect you. And then you say, here. And it's usually the most obvious thing. Here. You see a need. You know, the Holy Spirit does not need to use voices like I'm using now, where it takes him 5 minutes to explain something. In a nanosecond, I got to do that. And he will have communicated a ream of material to you. Sometimes we say, well, does he speak to me? Does God use voices like we do? No. He can just, in a nanosecond, I need to do that. Here, have a chair. Here. Oh, there's a piece of rubbish there. Yeah. And we pick it up. And you know what happens? After you start doing that, you start to, now watch this. He doesn't get you to do just tasks. You know what he's doing? He's developing in me. Oh, there's another one. Oh, they're here. A servant's heart. So then after a while, people say, that guy's a servant. How did he become such a good servant? Jesus Christ said, I came not to be served, but to serve and to give my life a ransom for many. There'll be times in relationships where the Spirit of God will just whisper to you. And it won't be in human voices now. You'll just know, I need to take time and listen to that person. My personal view is I don't want to, but I just need to listen. Yeah, here, sit down. Help that child with her math. That's your daughter. Help her. Okay. And you just take the time to listen. You take the time to share and give advice, maybe out of what you read, out of last week's devotions. You know what God is doing as you're listening in a perfective obedience fashion? He's developing in you a wise heart or a heart of wisdom. And after a while, someone says, that person has a wise heart. He's very insightful. That person takes time for people. How did he get that? By obeying the Holy Spirit. And he's moving in our lives to make us more and more like him. Luke 2:52, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man. So he's going to be speaking to us also in problems. Oh, I'm so mad at this person. My wife, why does she have to do that? And the Lord will just whisper to you, don't think that way. Think like this. You know what will happen after a while? You start obeying the Holy Spirit. He'll be developing in you the mind of Christ. So as you're obeying the Holy Spirit, guess what he's doing? He's making you and me more and more like him. So that when people see us, they see less of us and more of him. And that's a perfecting obedience. Let's read again that scripture in 2 Corinthians 3:18. Would you read it with me? Go. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like. Isn't that good? It's a great scripture. Let me conclude with a story of a boy named Kyle. And so if you can just kind of put your notes away. And by the way, the scripture memory is right at the top. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Just the bold part. Because I know from the last weeks, you're... So that's going to be an easy one. But try to memorize that. But he, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Just that. Isn't that a great promise? It's a living promise. It's a living promise. Listen to how the Holy Spirit guided a young man named Kyle. He writes, one day when I was a freshman in high school, I saw a kid from my class. He was walking home from school, writes Kyle. Writes another boy. His name was Kyle, the boy that he saw. It looked like he was carrying all of his books home on Friday. I thought to myself, why would anyone bring home all his books? He must really be a nerd. I had quite a weekend planned. My youth group was having a party at the beach, and so I had a lot of other things that I needed to do, so I shrugged my shoulders and went on. But as I was walking, I saw a bunch of kids running towards him. They ran at him, knocking all of his books out of his arms, tripping him so that he landed on the dirt and his glasses went flying. I saw them land in the grass about 10 feet from him. My heart went out to him because I saw this terrible sadness in his eyes. Just then, I felt the Lord say, help him. So I jogged over to him, and as he crawled around looking for his glasses, I saw a tear in his eye, and I handed him his glasses, and I said, those guys are jerks. They should really get a life, huh? He looked at me and said, hey, thanks, said Kyle. There was a big smile on his face. It was one of those smiles that you could tell showed really a lot of gratitude. Well, I helped him pick up his books, and I asked him where he lived. As it turned out, he lived really near me, so I figured, why not? I'll walk him home. I asked him why I hadn't seen him in school before, and he said he had gone to a private school, and he just transferred over. Well, I would never have hung out with private school kids. But we talked all the way home, and I carried some of his books. And he turned out to be a pretty cool kid, this Kyle. So I asked him if he wanted to play a little football with my friends on that weekend. He said yes. We hung out all weekend, and the more I got to know Kyle, the more I liked him. And my friends thought the same of him. Monday morning came, and there was Kyle with his huge stack of books on his way back to school. I stopped him and said, boy, are you really going to build some serious muscles with this pile of books every week? And he just laughed and handed me half the books. Well, over the next 4 years, Kyle and I became best friends. And when we were seniors, we talked about college. Kyle decided to go on to Georgetown, and I was going to go to Duke. I knew that we would always be friends, and that the miles between us would never be a problem. He was going to be a doctor, and I was going to go for business on a football scholarship. Kyle was valedictorian of the class. I teased him all the time about being a nerd. He had to prepare a speech for graduation, and I was so glad that it wasn't me up there having to give the speech. Well, graduation day, I saw Kyle. He looked great. He's one of those guys that really found himself sort of during high school. He filled out and actually looked good in glasses. He had more dates than I had, and all the girls loved him. I sometimes was pretty jealous, and today was one of those days, I guess. But I could see that he was really nervous about his speech at graduation. So I smacked him on the back and said, hey, big guy, you'll be great. He looked at me with one of those looks, one of those really grateful looks, and he smiled. Thanks, he said. He got up there on the podium and started his speech. And he cleared his throat and he began. Graduation is a time to thank all of those who have helped you make it through these years. Your parents, your teachers, your siblings, maybe a coach, but mostly, he said, your friends. I am here to tell all of you that being a friend to someone is the best gift that you can give them. He continued and said, I'm going to tell you a story. And I looked at my friend up there with disbelief as he told the story of the first day we met. What I didn't know was he was planning to kill himself over the weekend. He talked of how he had cleaned out his locker so his mom wouldn't have to do it later, and he was going to carry all of his stuff home. Then he looked hard at me, and he gave me a little smile in the midst of the crowd. He said, but thankfully, I was saved. My friend saved me from doing the unspeakable. I heard the gasp go through the crowd as this handsome, popular boy told us about his weakest moment. And I saw his mom and dad look at me, smiling at that same time with that grateful smile. It was not until that moment did I realize the depth. Never underestimate, he says, the little nudges of God. Because with one small step of obedience, you might change somebody's life. Now, the Holy Spirit will be our helper. And sometimes he'll just nudge us. Because it's not a corrective obedience, it's a perfective obedience. And he'll say, just do that. And you won't know why. But by this time, you'll begin to understand that even when the Holy Spirit shares something that we don't understand, do it anyway, because it just may save somebody's life. And that's what Jesus would do, wouldn't he? Because see, for a lot of people, you're going to be the only Jesus they'll ever meet, and you'll be the only Bible they'll ever read. Some of you might be here and you'll be feeling more like a Kyle. You'll say, you know, boy, I come into some times of great depression. I could sure use a guide. I'm in a marriage situation. I'm in a family situation that I have no bearings right now. I have no bearings. I don't have a clue. And I think I'll be making more mistakes than not. And I really need a guide. I need someone to walk with me. You know, that's exactly why Jesus came. He didn't come to bring a new religion. He came to repair a broken relationship between God and man. And he came to repair that so that we could again become the people that he wants us to be. And he would be someone who is within us to guide us by the Holy Spirit. And that's what it means to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's not a physical thing. That's opening our heart to the Spirit of God, guiding us from the inside, saying, this is the way, walk in it. Don't think that way, Wayne. Think this way. Check this out. Whoa, before you do that. And little by little, he's guiding me into all truth because he knows my future and he knows what he's planned and designed. And he gives us the Holy Spirit to help us to become that. And he gives us the instruction book of the Bible so that everything that God has planned for us in our marriages, in our future, we will not forfeit, but instead experience. That's what Paul said. Ah, that I might attain what God saved me for. And the Holy Spirit is the one who will guide us. And when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're opening your heart to the Spirit of God to come in and change you from the inside out until you become more and more like him. But it all starts with a decision. Some of you may feel like I'm 1,000 miles away from God. Do you know that the Lord will take every step of the way towards you to close that gap? He'll take every step except one. That's yours. Doesn't matter how far you're away from the Lord. God will take every step towards you except the last. That's yours. Then it becomes a partnership, not a forced thing, not a coerced thing, but a partnership. And that step is you simply saying yes to his invitation when he says, come, follow me. See, the Lord is a gentleman and he will never force truth down your throat or mine, but he'll make it available. And when we accept him, then it becomes a partnership and we can walk together. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please do that. It'll be the most eternal decision that you'll ever make in your whole life. And all he's waiting for is for you to say, Lord, I want to say yes to your invitation because you know that I need forgiveness. You know I need a new beginning and you know I need a guide and a Savior. Lord, I want to say yes to you. And that'll be the beginning of the rest of your life as you follow the Lord and walk with him. If you've not done that, do that today. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your grace on our lives. We ask, Lord, that you would move in our hearts and help us to understand the precious gift of the Holy Spirit, a living promise. And Lord, with heads bowed, I pray that you'll touch hearts today so that they'll begin, all of us will begin to understand how precious your invitation is to receive you as Lord and Savior. With your head still bowed, if that's you and you'd say, you know, God, you know I need forgiveness. You know I need a guide. You know I need help. Would you come into my heart? Would you change me from the inside out? If that's you, would you raise a hand and doing so you're saying yes? Okay, yeah, yeah, okay. All right, on the side. Yeah, okay, in the back. Okay, right up front, yeah. Lord sees that, yeah. Okay, you can put your hands down. How many of you would say, you know, Wayne, I'm a Christian, but whew, to tell you the truth, I don't really follow the Holy Spirit. Not because I don't want to. I just don't know how to. Lord, would you help me to be someone who follows the Holy Spirit? Would you give me ears that hear, eyes that see, and a heart that's set to follow you? If that's you, would you raise a hand and say, yeah, Lord, that's me. Would you help me, please? Yeah. Let's stand together, and we're going to take a hold of hands, and let's pray. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer after me. And would you repeat it? So would you reach out and take a hold of the person's hand next to you? If this is the first time you've ever prayed this prayer, pray it with all your heart. And if you've prayed this many times before, let's pray it again. And let's renew our hearts before the Lord. And if this is your first time, there's a yes table outside for those that have said yes to Jesus Christ. Just go out there. They have a packet. In it is a Bible and some follow-up material. Just grab one. It's free for the asking. And then they'll invite you to our Growing Deep, Growing Strong course. And come out for water baptism tomorrow as you make a public confession to everyone that I'm going to die to the old and I'm going to live to the new. Would you pray this after me? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Lord Jesus, thank you that you came, died for my sins, that I might have life everlasting. I turn from my sins and I say yes to you. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. So now I say this, so everyone hears, so I can hear, so you can hear me, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to Him. In Jesus' name I pray. And Lord, that's a cry of our heart. Thank you for welcoming these into the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Welcome these who made that decision to follow Jesus for the first time.
In Christ alone, I place my trust and find my glory.
Have a great day. Give someone a hug on your way out, would you?
In Christ alone.